We are starting a brand new series today called Grow, and it's going to be for the next 4 weeks, and you actually get to go home with some stuff today that's up here that I'm going to give you later because I don't want you to be distracted with. But here, let me give you kind of my heart behind this, and then we'll get started. I think one of the most discouraging things for us to do is to work long and hard on something that we cannot see. And it is something that God has called us to grow, which we're going to talk about. But my heart is that over the next 4 weeks that we would be intentional to sow into our own life and to connect with God in a more real way over the next 4 weeks, just to see what God wants to do with us and be available. So you're actually going to go home today with a composition notebook. Spare no expense at Reach Community Church. They were half off, 50 cent. Cha-ching. I love these. These are actually a journal I used to use all the time, and there's a little reading plan in there and a pen, so there is no excuse. And our challenge for you is that if you what you value, you'll do. And if you value seeing God move in your life, not just the idea of, but you value seeing God move in your life, then you'll invest in things to see that happen. And so you're going to get some stuff today. And so I'm going to go to our first slide. Aw, cute. She's not even in here this week. This is my oldest, Lydia, holding Allie, which I was holding just a second ago, who is now 5 and Lydia is 12. And I think it is understood, and I don't think I have to convince you of anything, that things are meant to grow. Living things are meant to grow. That no one would expect that little, cute, both of them actually, but the baby, Allie, because there's such a transformation from birth to 5 years old. No one would expect if I was still carrying Allie in my arms at, you know, 7 pounds, 11 ounces and 20 inches long 5 years later, there would be an understanding that something's not working correctly. Right? We'd all agree there. And so there is an expectation that things are going to grow. They are. If you plant something now, let me just be honest. I kill plants. I had a bonsai phase. I thought it was going to nurture my soul when I started planting the church. They're all dead. It died. I don't know why. Things living that aren't in my house typically grow. You know, you plant them. If you do what is necessary for them to grow, they grow. And the thing is in the natural, we know what or think we know what is necessary to make things physically grow. So I know that for the last 5 years, we have Allie. We have made sure that she has gone to bed at a reasonable hour and got a good amount of sleep. And if she has had a cold or has been sick, we've taken her to the doctor. We've done the things necessary to see her grow physically and become a little 5-year-old. And my beautiful little, I wish she was in here, 12-year-old now. She looks like Allie does right there. And she is now like 5'2" and in middle school. So there is an expectation that things in the natural grow. But I think, if we're going to be honest, we have an expectation that the spiritual side of us grow, but we're not quite sure what that looks like or how to do it. And I've been in this world, in this side of the kingdom for the last 20 years. It is something in the last 20 years that I've struggled with. Of going, because it's hard when you cannot see. Like with Allie, we can look at and go, okay, you know, she's progressing. We're taking her to the doctor and she's in the whatever percentile of her weight. And, you know, my kids have always had pretty large heads. So, you know, their heads have been in the large percentile of those. And now with our height too, they're tall. And so you can kind of see that things grow. But in our spiritual life, it's not as easy to grab a hold of that. And so I've just got a few scriptures before we get into the main text that I want to go to, just to make sure that you understand that this just isn't something that I'm talking about. This is something on the heart of God. So the first one, which it'll be up there, will be Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. It says, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow as so that it builds itself up in love." So the great thing here is not only is our spiritual growth important to us, but our spiritual growth is highly important to this church, to our family, to those around us, to the body of Christ. Hebrews 5, starting in verse 12, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature and those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Trained by constant practice. And that's really, this isn't like, hey, I'm not a check the box guy. Like, I'm going to give you a journal and there's a reading plan on. If you've got a reading plan or if you've got a system for connecting with God and reading the Word, I'm not trying to break that. Keep that. And I'm not trying to just give you something that you can go, I feel good and Jesus loves me because I read this morning. This is so that we can be trained because, let me sell you on this. If you're not satisfied with any aspect of your life, Jesus is the answer. If your marriage isn't what you desire it to be, Jesus is the answer. If your kids aren't, if your child rearing, which I'm in this one, isn't going quite the well, Jesus is the answer. If your finances are not where you want them to be, Jesus is the answer. If you are overwhelmed by life, Jesus is the answer. So the reality here is not just so that you can grow because that's what's expected, but at the end of this, your growth will make you a better everything. It just will. I mean, not listening to me will make you a better everything, but you deciding to let Jesus be a fixture in your daily life, it'll change your world. It just will. I mean, I can tell you, compared to Heath at 18 years old, compared to Heath now at 38 years old, 20 years later, lots of ups and downs and not the perfect road. I mean, I'd love to tell you, like, I started here and, woo, this is Heath's journey in Jesus. Okay, this is Heath's journey in Jesus. But the idea is here is that we're going up. We may go down, and there's another series brewing in my mind about this, Proverbs 24:6. It says, "The saint may fall, but seven times he rises again." That's what makes us different, is that we are progressing. And the only way we progress is not by trying harder, but allowing God more access and more availability to speak into our lives. Colossians 1, 9 and 10, it says, "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God." See, the cool thing about all of these words, they're all written to churches. So this isn't, you know, Paul or one of the, they may all be Paul, him writing to one person like, hey, you needed this. This is the church. And this will always be the issue of the church of going, the best thing for you is getting connected with Jesus. So it is not just my idea that we should spiritually grow. And so I've got I actually stole this. So if he ever listens to this message, Jeff Winchester, thank you. Friend of mine, he actually is the site pastor of PC3 in Leland. Become really good friend of mine. And I was sitting around having coffee talking to series, and he's like, you should. And so this illustration, he didn't invent it, but it came out of his mouth. So, and I think this is probably the greatest thing that I have heard in this, and something we're going to talk about a lot, and part of the reason why the backdrop to grow is bamboo. You may not know this, but Chinese bamboo, when it's planted, takes 5 years to do anything. So whoever decides, hey, we want bamboo, and in their culture, bamboo is a very valued commodity, and they plant hope. And so every day for 5 years, they cultivate, they water, they pull weeds, they take care of every day. First year, nothing. Second year, every day, taking care of, getting ready, nothing. Third year, nothing. Fourth year, nothing. Fifth year. At the end of the fifth year, something miraculous happens. It begins to grow, and it grows in such a fashion that if you sit there, you can see it grow. I mean, it will grow 90 feet in six, or up to 90 feet in 6 weeks. And I found this in a thing talking about this. It says the question is, did it grow 90 feet in 6 weeks or in five? Let me say that again. Did it grow 90 feet in 6 weeks or in 5 years? The answer, of course, is that it grew 90 feet in 5 years. It took 5 years to grow the root system that would one day support a 90-foot plant. Think about this for in the spiritual. What we do to value our spiritual growth is we sow, invest, weed, pull fruit, practice, sow, invest, pull fruit, practice. We are in this constant lifestyle of sowing in and not necessarily seeing the fruit of. And you'll see this in a lot of, you'll see this as far back as Abraham. God came to Abraham and said, hey, I'm going to make you the father of my people and you're going to have a son in 25 years. He waited 25 years to get Abraham ready to be the father of his people. You'll see this in Joseph. Joseph had this dream. Hey, you guys are going to bow down to me. You don't ever say that to your older brothers. It's not a good idea. And then you don't add your mom and dad into that. Okay, not in that culture. That's not a bad idea. Sold into slavery, thrown into prison 17 years until he saw his vision come true. Because God was preparing him to be a man. And I think Joseph is probably my favorite because he had this vision that was from God. And he didn't necessarily know how to get there. And he chose, unwisely in our opinion, but wisely in God's opinion, because he spent the time in slavery, serving, being obedient to God, even outside of his culture, outside of anybody that's going to accuse him of doing anything wrong, and then was accused of something he didn't do and thrown into jail. And then he gives a prophetic word that is true and happened to the one guy, and he gets released. And the only thing he asked, he said, remember me. And he gets released and forgets him for 2 years. And so you can look at that and go, God hates me. God doesn't love me. But through our lens, and it stinks when it's our story, because we're in the middle of it. We're like, this sucks. I mean, just be honest. This is not nice. I don't like it. But when we see the whole story, and this is the great thing about this bamboo, is that we are investing in the hope of what God is doing. So when you, through my encouragement, decide to read the scriptures, it may take time. It may take time out of your already packed schedule, but it is investing in the hope. Because I guarantee you, one of the things that I mentioned are a problem area with you, and you go, if this would just be resolved, if the way I think about myself, if the way I'm acting, the way I'm responding, this anger that I have, if we realize that God is the answer to those things, then we're investing in the hope that eventually God is doing things on the inside of us that will be seen outside of us. So where does it all begin? It begins with the seed of faith, the deposit of the Holy Spirit, Jesus casting the seed. And so I'm going to talk about a parable. Actually, we're going to leave the parable out. You can read that. And I'm going to talk about read through Jesus' explanation of the parable of the sower. And I want you to kind of get this picture that our goal is not growth. Our goal is fruit. Because you're going to look through four different pictures of what the word happens to people. And in three of those, in two of the three of those, you have growth. But only in the last one do you see fruit. And here are the four things that you see. One's on a path, one is on rocky ground, one is among thorns, and one's in good soil. So if you're reading along with me, we're going to be in Matthew 13. It's going to be on the screen. 18. It says, "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what is sown along the path." So this is, the word has been declared. The people have heard it. But they don't understand it, and the evil one comes and takes it away. And in verse 20 it says, "As what is sown on rocky ground, this is the one that hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has not, he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away." See, I think a lot of times, you know, in the illustration of the bamboo, our heart would be, and this is mine too, so don't think, most of the time when I say anything, it's always coming from someone speaking about me, about us, okay? So don't look at the words that are coming out of my mouth and go, "Oh, Heath is talking about us." My heart and desire would be like, I hear something, I begin to practice it and see the fruit. Like, let's say I have an anger issue and I'm like, "Oh God, I want to get rid of this anger issue." And I start reading scriptures about anger and I know how I should process and what I should do and humble myself and all these things. And I'm thinking day two of reading those things about anger, that anger should be gone. That would be my heart's content. That, you know, whatever the issue is, it's like two or three days and I'm done. I mean, and I think we have become a microwave culture in a lot of aspects, that we want everything to be understood, everything to be fixed, everything to be perfect within a limited period of time. But the truth is, just like the bamboo, if it were to shot up, if Joseph would have been given authority and reign at 17, it would have blown up in his face, because he was not ready to be the leader. He was not ready to do what was necessary in Egypt so that his family would survive. In verse 22 it says, "As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulnesses of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown in good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields. In one case, 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. When you plant a fruit, a crop, there's always the hope that at the other end of that, you're going to get to enjoy the fruit of it. Like when you plant tomatoes, your hope is that you just don't see this green vine forever. I mean, you can go take pictures of it and go, "Oh, this is my tomato plant." Your hope is that at some point, that tomato plant will produce a tomato that you can then eat, consume, have. Same thing with onions and all these other things, that you're planting them with hope. And this is the same thing with our spiritual life. Every day when we're sowing into something, it is for the hope of what comes out of it. John 16, verse 12 through 15. There's other verses here, but if you ever just want to kind of rest somewhere for a little bit, John 15, 15 and 16 is a great place to be. It was actually the first place that Jesus told people of the Holy Spirit in the sense that He was coming, and it's where the famous line is that, you know, it is to your benefit that I leave so that I can send the Helper. And listen to what this is, because I think a lot of times, even for what I'm going to encourage you guys to do over the next 4 weeks, if it's just us, there isn't a lot of hope for what's to be. But verse 12, I still have many things to say to you, and this is Jesus, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me. Hey, can you mute me for just a second? Hello. I don't know what that noise is, but I apologize. I'm going to try not to. I'm close. And He will declare these things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. And all that the Father has is Mine. Therefore, I say that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. And so the whole thing here, the reason why we read the Word is not so that we can have understanding. See, if the Word is just something that we can memorize and use to debate and argue things, and there's not life in it, then we become what Jesus had the most issue with in the New Testament, which is a Pharisee, which is someone that knows everything but has missed the understanding of what it's all about. The Bible isn't there so that you can live a perfect life by obeying the rules, because we have learned through it. I don't know why I keep pointing to those. Those aren't Bibles. We learn from it, the Word, that it is something that will feed our soul. But it has to be more. The law has never, it didn't for thousands of years. This is why Jesus came, because the law was never capable of saving us, never capable of bringing us to the place that we needed to be. And the great thing here is that if we're on the journey and we have the Holy Spirit, then the Holy Spirit gives us understanding. Now, what that means, you may go like, I don't know about this Holy Spirit, and I've never heard anyone speak to me from the inside, and I don't know what that means, and I don't have, that's not what today's message is, but the version of that is that God gives us understanding as we ask. We have to ask. You know, a lot of my reading, there's things that I still don't understand. I just want to declare that. I have not memorized the whole Bible, and I don't understand it. So you may come up to me with one verse and go, Heath, what does this mean? And hopefully I have at least read it and some understanding. But there is things that we don't understand, but there's things that when we allow God to speak through those, half of what God has taught me through is things that I started off not understanding and just said, God, I don't get that. Like you'll, in my YouVersion is where I do most of my Bible plan. I read the other day in 2 Chronicles, and it talked about one of the guys living 130 years. And this is after Noah and after the declaration for God that he weren't. So I'm like, sometimes my, and not that I've got any wisdom from that yet, but a lot of it stirs from like, what is going on here? So asking questions about, and actually I'm going to give you three things that you're going to write in your book that just as you read to ask. And you may not get it. I'm telling you, one of the main reasons why I encourage people to journal is not for today. I mean, because journaling and recording what you're feeling and what's going on and what you feel like God's speaking to you is great for today, but it's even better for tomorrow. Because I don't know how many things. I try to make it a habit of every 3 months or so just reading back through scriptures that stood out to me. And just for all the guys that are like, I'm not doing a diary, Heath. I'm not asking you to write your feelings. I mean, if you open to my journal, it would literally most of the time be a date. And then I, out of laziness in the future, write down the scripture that I have a question about and a comment on. And so that when you come back to it, if you've just got in your journal Matthew 11:12, you're going to be like, I don't really remember what that was, and I'm too busy to look it up. But if you write down it and just write a question, you'll be amazed when you read back through of what God did through that verse later. So here's one more, just to give you a little hope. Philippians 1:6. It says, and I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion on the day of Jesus. The journey is messy. The journey is not easy, and it is counterculture. I mean, really, the more we engage with biblical truth, biblical principle, it will come against the teachings of the world. And it will come against what you have maybe for years declared as truth that is not truth. Things you believe about yourself. I mean, there were things that for years, 18 years of my life, I was completely not following Jesus. And so out of 18 years of my life, even though I was in church and kind of understood the rules and things that I shouldn't do and had guilt and shame and all those other things, there are things that God has been for years unlearning me for my first 18 years. And there are things that God's going to unlearn you to the day you die. That's this. The bamboo, it's every day. You're watering it for the hope of what God is going to do. I cannot say that enough. Because, I mean, you're potentially sitting here because you're here with somebody, but most of you are probably sitting in this room because you have some belief that God is the answer. You may not know how all that works out and what to do, but if it is, then align your life a little bit to see that happen. I mentioned Jeff Winchester earlier. I began doing something on March 19th that I haven't done in a while. It's called working out. And it's not very fun to begin with. I'm like 9 or 10 weeks in, and when I first started working out with these guys, I thought it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I got there on that first Monday, and he said, no, it's 5 days a week, 5 a.m. So 6 days a week at 4:20, my alarm goes off. I get out of bed, and one day a week I'm here. I go to my office and kind of get my mind wrapped around today, and 5 days a week I go to the gym. And I say all this to say, for 9 weeks, I'm looking at the scale, and I'm looking at the mirror and going, 5 a.m. And 6 weeks in, he has this scale that measures like body fat and visceral fat and all this other stuff I don't understand. I mean, lots of different things. And so 6 weeks in, I get on the scale, and I've been seeing my scale at home. And he's been telling me to not pay attention to the scale. And I stepped on the scale, and I had 6 weeks. I'm talking about 5 days a week, an hour plus, and not like strenuous. I'm sore most of the time, working out a pound and a half. I mean, that almost makes you just want to go home. I mean, you're like, 6 weeks, 5 days a week, 5 o'clock in the morning. And there was a little fact that helped me. In that 6 weeks, I only lost a pound and a half, but I lost 4% body fat, which isn't in this. And I'm not saying this like, oh, you know, we should all work out. We should work out. I feel better than I've ever felt in my life. And this is lifestyle for me. Like, I'm not talking about diets. I'm not talking about like, I'm talking about this is something I want to do every day for the rest of my life. And I need people to do that with. So I get up at 5, not because I wanted to, because that's when they were getting up. And I say all that because a lot of times it's hard to see what good is coming out of your sacrifice, of your word, of the things that God's doing. Hang in there. God has ways of letting you step on that spiritual scale and go, you may not see it. But what God's doing in you is making a bigger difference than you understand. And so I'm going to get Brent, and was it Josh? And Josh, to help me pass out one of these to everybody. Somebody's not going to have a pen. Enjoy. You have like 78 cents a piece of the church. This is sowing back and investing in your future. And I'm going to give you three questions to write in the in it. And if nothing else, you can write your next novel out of here. Everybody, these people back here, don't ignore the... Who does it? Yeah, there is no... Hey, will you get the two in the back? Yes, there is no Wi-Fi. Quick search. But like, I want to find that verse. That's what Google's for. And here, let me just go over this for a second. I'm going to give you three questions that I want you to write on this, and then we're going to ask God to do the miraculous and be available for us. So a little piece of paper in here, this is just a guide. This isn't necessarily what you have to do. Like I said, if you have a reading plan that's working for you, work the reading plan that you're doing. If you don't, this is a simple way. It's one chapter. It's broken into 2 weeks at a time, one day. Like the first 2 weeks is life and teaching of Jesus. So day one, you would read Luke 1 and therefore and thereon, and two is the teachings of Paul. Three is the Old Testament. And four is the Holy Spirit. And it's one chapter. I mean, you could read one chapter in less than 10 minutes. And here, if you'll write in the front of your book, here's here's three questions that is great to just ask. The first one is, what did I read? So record. Like you'll see in mine, I usually date it. And then I just write down like the verse that I read or something that stuck out. So what did I read? Question number two is, what did it say? And three, probably the harder one, is what is it asking me to do? I don't want you to be more informed without application. But there's more inspiration than we have and know what to do with. It is the application that changes us, which we're going to talk about over the next 3 weeks. There are going to be very practical ways of how we grow the spiritual life of ours. So those are three questions. And so just as you go, and let me just release you from guilt and shame. If you miss a day, so what? I am not going to check that ever again. I am not going to go. Now, if you own YouVersion and you befriend me on YouVersion, you can see whether I read today or not, which is a little convicting. I am like 4 or 5 days behind, just so you know, in my reading plan. But I'm reading. But it is a method for you just to say, I'm here, and keep that. I think these are probably my first, when I started journaling maybe 10 years ago, my first like 8, and I still have them. They're in my office, are these, because pages don't come out of them as easy. Now they can. But I love that, I would take them with me everywhere. Just things. You don't understand what will happen to you when you just record. Because, you know, what's going to happen is you'll start to see God speaking things to you. You'll start to have questions. You'll start to see these things. And down the road, when you have kind of some of those, you know, not so great times, and you go, oh, God never speaks to me. Recording what you've heard God say, things that have inspired you over a word, things that challenge you in a word, will encourage you that God does speak. But He doesn't speak if you don't read. He doesn't speak if you don't talk. He doesn't speak if you don't get into a position that you can just say, hey, God, I want to listen. And that may mean a lot of things. That may mean going on a walk in the morning Like for me, praying early in the morning and being still is not a good idea. I say it a lot. I'm like, I'm going to go downstairs and pray. You know, so go for a walk. You know, make it original. I mean, like, YouVersion, like I said, they have, you can actually go on there if you have a smartphone and type in what you're reading, and you can go for a walk, and it'll read it to you. I mean, so sometimes it's like, oh, you know, so I don't have the time. I mean, most people are in their car like 5-10 minutes a day at least. Put your headphones in, plug it into your jack on your stereo, and listen. You know, there's so many. There's no excuse for us not to just say, if this is our hope, if this helps us change from the inside and build the root system so that we can weather the storm of life, then it is worth to take the time to say, God, what do you want me to do? And so I'm going to invite our worship team back up, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God to ignite our journey. Because this is, like everything else, it is what you make it. It is something that has to become part of you. Not an association, not a club, not a sticker on the back of your car. It has to be something that you are connecting with. And the great thing about the gospel, which this comes off a little bit, what if I don't have a spiritual life? What if I'm not there? The great thing about the gospel is that Jesus has done everything necessary for us to have a relationship with Him. We don't have to get cleaned up. We don't have to get perfect so that Jesus can respond to us. All we have to do is go, God, it's not working. I need you. We had a great baptism last week, and Travis came up here, and he's like, you know, I've been doing it my way for a long time, and it's not working. I want to let you do that. That is the simplicity of the gospel, that he came to this earth, he put on flesh, he lived a sinless life, and he went to the cross to do what thousands of years the law could not do for us, so that he could remove our heart of stone and put a heart of flesh, so that we can, because of what he's done, walk in a way that we get to experience him. So if you're in this room and you're not in a place that I don't even know about spiritual growth, because I don't even know God, I don't know Jesus, it is as simple as going, my life's not working, I want to trust you and begin a journey. And everybody else in here, it's up to you. I mean, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting things to change. You know, we talk about the things of God. We talk about these things and we go, oh, that would be great, that would be great. And reality is, change. If it's not working for you, let's do something different. Here you go. I'm supplying you with something different for 4 weeks. Just see what God does. So I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go back into worship. We're going to have an opportunity for you to come up and get people to pray with you and stand with you if things are going on. You know, we realize that life is difficult. We had a sweet, sweet lady named Margie that's been attending our church for about 4 months and been battling cancer on and off since she was 35 years old. She was 64 years old 6 months ago, nearly died. Kind of revived and has been doing relatively well. And well, last week she, her organs basically shut down, and she passed away on Thursday. And I was there with the family, and I'm just telling you, you don't have the joy. I prayed with her 2 weeks ago about her last treatment. You don't have the joy that woman has without investing in what gives the joy. I mean, she faced death every day and would come up here, and most of her concern was being well enough so she could take care of other people, so that she could go visit and see the grandkids. And I sat there with her daughter in the room and say, I have seen what it means to be a great mom. I have seen what it means to see someone. I get to be a part of her funeral. If you're available Monday night at 6:30 at Life Community Church, it's going to be a celebration of her life. It will be a celebration. I get to read scripture. And one of the ones I get to read, and I get to read it and mean it, is Proverbs 31. It's that she is, there is no greater than a woman that sacrifices her life for the advancement of the kingdom, her children, and those around her. I mean, her, it's worth it. Because I get to look her family in the eye and go, it's okay. So, dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you that you give us an opportunity and make it available that we can connect. These are just 50 cents composition books, 25 cent pen, and half of a piece of paper. For what they are, they have no value, but what they could be something that completely changes us forever. So Lord, I pray that you would stir faith and hope in us sitting in this room to decide that we want more of you. Because Lord, we believe that more of you and less of us makes us in such a better place to see your love communicated to others. Our life fake. It's not pretending, the sincerity of heart, choosing to serve others because we've seen you. So Lord, I pray that you take these little books, I pray that you take the 78 cent and you, like our scripture today, that you bring 100-fold, 60-fold, 30-fold out of that. So we love you. We are so grateful that you have chosen express yourself through your word, through your Son. And Lord, I pray that you would show yourself and express yourself in your love through us, your children.